world is filled with sorrow and woe, with disappointment and heartbreak. There's an old saying, no news is good news, and how true that is so often. We turn the television set on, we listen to the radio, we listen to the news, and so often in order for it to be news, it has to be bad news. So the saying, no news is good news. A lot of people are hearing a lot of bad news in the days in which we're living. Think of the recession that we've just come through. Many a person has been told, you've lost your job. Others have been told, your finances have collapsed. Some people hear bad news as far as their physical health is concerned. The doctor has a diagnosis to give. Maybe some cancer or some other disease has struck the body, and they hear bad news that all is not well with the physical frame. Some people in recent times have got the bad news that their flight has been cancelled. By the way, did that volcano affect anybody here? That eruption in Iceland, did it affect anybody? It affected some people, it did. And you were maybe stuck. We had 5 young people from our church in Romania. In fact, Andrew was one of them. And they had gone over for a week to do some work, building work, on one of the Deborah houses. And they travelled up a week later to the airport in Hungary, Budapest, to be told, your flight has been cancelled. And Ryanair, being the fine airline company that it is, says, we'll give you a flight a week later. So they were told next Thursday, 1 week away, we'll give you a flight. They didn't really know what to do, whether to go back to Romania, stay in the airport, try to get home. And they were constantly in touch with home, and we eventually gave them the advice, get on the road, which they did. And they took a journey by road and by boat that lasted for 3 days. So we got them home last Sunday evening. But, you know, a lot of people have been told, your flight has been cancelled. And, of course, that was bad news for them. But what must it be to be told you're going to die? You're going to die and not live. It must be a very sobering, serious, and solemn thing to be told your life is coming to an end. You're going to go out into eternity. You're going to meet God. And Hezekiah was told by the prophet Isaiah that very thing. You're going to die. You're not going to live, Hezekiah. Aaron, the brother of Moses, was told that he was going to die. Back in Numbers chapter 20, he would not enter into the promised land because of his sin at Meribah. And so Moses, Aaron, and Eleazar went up into Mount Hor, and there Aaron died. And for 30 days the children of Israel mourned over the death of this eminent leader. King Saul was told that he was going to die. He was going to die tomorrow. You read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 19. There was going to be a battle, and Saul and his sons were going to lose their lives. And Samuel told that he was going to die. He told the king. Peter told Sapphira that she was just about to die. You remember those solemn words? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And just a moment later, Sapphira fell down dead. The great apostle Paul knew that death was approaching as he made his journey to Rome. He knew that death was very near. In fact, when he wrote his last letter to young Timothy, 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he was going to die. And the question that I'm asking tonight in this meeting is this. If you knew you were going to die, and maybe even die today, would it make a difference in your life? Would it bring about changes? Would it cause you to think differently? How would it affect you? Would you be afraid? Would you be sad? Would you be content and happy? Are there matters that you need to sort out in your life if you knew you were going to die? Remember these words to the king, King Hezekiah. Set thine house in order. There are things that need to be attended to. Hezekiah, you would need to be attending to those things because you're going to die. And I'm sure that's true of us all tonight. Would there not be special and words as we thought of leaving our loved ones? Would we not have a message for them, especially those in our family who are unconverted? Maybe we haven't been witnessing to them the way that we should. But now death is coming. We know we're going to die. And surely we have a message in the gospel to encourage them to seek the Lord and to call upon His name that they might be saved. Are there people that you would need to see? Are there right or wrongs that you would need to put right in your life? I often think about people who have fallen out with family members, and you know what happens. I could take you to two brothers tonight, and they live on the same road. Their houses are only a few meters apart, but do you know they haven't spoken in years? Haven't spoken. I'm sure they have things that they need to put right of death, if they knew that death was coming their way. And we think, of course, of Christians who are at odds with other Christians. And if they were told they were going to die, surely they'd want to put those things right. You see, my friends, it's an awful thing to leave life. And there's certain matters have been left undone and unfinished. Hezekiah, the great king, the godly king, was told that he was going to die. And that was tragic news for him. You can imagine how he must have felt as he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray and he began to weep before God. The rich farmer that we've read about tonight in Luke chapter 12, he was going to die also that very night, but he did not know that he was going to die. It was hidden from his view. He had no time to make changes. He had no time to make preparations for the life to come. He had no time to put things right, to prepare for eternity. And often that's the case. For there are those who come to die and they don't know they're going to die, as we shall see in the course of this meeting this evening. Tell me, if you knew that you were going to die, would it make a difference? I want to say, first of all, die you most certainly will. We read here in Luke chapter 12 this little phrase, "Your soul shall be required of thee." And that was God's word concerning this rich, prosperous farmer who had been blessed by a bountiful harvest. His fields brought forth a magnificent yield. There was a most amazing crop that year, more than he could ever have anticipated, more than he could ever have expected. In fact, he was not expecting it by all accounts. Because whenever this harvest came, he had to pull down his barns and build greater to house the great crop that he received that year. Any farmer would envy what this man got. And there's nothing wrong with a good harvest. In fact, it is the blessing of God. When God blesses the fields, it's spoken about in His Word that when the crops yield a great harvest, this is the blessing of God in a physical, in a temporal sense. The problem with this man is this. God did not figure in his life. Spiritual things never entered into the equation. He never thought about God. He never thought about life the way that it should be lived. He certainly did not think about death. For he was planning for the future all the years that he thought that he had left. He never thought about eternity, about the afterlife. Never thought about his soul. His existence was lived with a capital I. And as you read this story that the Lord Jesus relates, you'll discover in these few verses of Scripture, something like 11 times, this man speaks about I and my. It's a self-centered life. The only thing he said about his soul, or rather said to his soul, are the words that we read in verse 19. "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God thought differently. Because God says in verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." His soul was required. My friend, God has given to every man a soul. You've got a soul tonight. The most precious possession that you have, the most valuable possession that you have, and you might think of the things that you possess, and you might put great estimation and great value on that particular thing of life. But I want to tell you, the most valuable possession that you have is your immortal soul. What are you doing with your soul? Are you preparing it for eternity? Or like this man, are you living for time? God will require that soul one day. It's going to leave your earthly tabernacle. You see that body that you and I have tonight? That's just a tent. That's just a tabernacle that houses the real man. And the soul is going to leave that tabernacle. That soul that God has given to you will be called forth. Die. You most certainly will. Death is the separation of body and soul. And I know that we can think about death under many different terms. We can say when you stop breathing, you're dead. Well, that's not strictly true because you can be brought very quickly back to life again. Or when your heart stops to beat. Some might say when the heart stops to beat, that person's dead. In clinical terms, they talk about brain death. But in reality, the point of death is when your soul departs. When your soul leaves the body. You remember what Job says, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? That's death. When the soul is given up. Do you realize that tonight? One day your soul will be required. One day your soul will be given up. You will enter eternity. You will go to one of two places. Either heaven is one who is redeemed with the precious blood, or into hell, into a lost eternity, as one who's unprepared. No wonder Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I want you to notice that tonight. I want you to get this truth impressed upon your mind and your heart. Die, you most certainly will. But in the light of this question that we're asking this evening, I want you to think secondly about this. Many do not know they are going to die. It's hidden from view. Probably in many ways that's a good thing. If we knew we're going to die tomorrow or next week, there was a certain date we're going to die. You know how worried and anxious we would be, though very often or sometimes that is the case with individuals. They do know that death is very near, as we shall also see tonight. But many, many people do not know when they're going to die. That death is near. You think of those that are murdered suddenly and unexpectedly cut off. They do not know they're going to die. The very first death in the entire history of humanity was a murder. Abel didn't know he was going to die. He didn't suspect it. He wasn't aware of it. But that day his brother, as they walked together in the field, rose up against him and killed him. And many are still being murdered on the wicked streets of this world today. And there's no warning. They don't know they're going to die. When sudden disaster comes, those who were caught up in such do not know they're going to die. Think of the flood way back in the old world. Now, of course, they were warned. They were pleaded with. God had his man. He had his preacher, a preacher of righteousness, he's called Noah, who for 120 years while the ark was being prepared, preached to the old world, preached the gospel to them. But they did not believe. And the flood came and swept them all away into eternity. We can think of recent history. Think of 9/11, the Twin Towers, those many, many lives that were lost. They didn't know they were going to die that day. What about the tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004? I'm sure you remember it well. It came on Boxing Day. That swept the coast of 14 countries, killing 230,000 people. Waves up to the height of 30 meters, that's 100 feet, sweeping hundreds, thousands of people into eternity. What about the earthquake in China in 2008? 87,000 people killed. There was another just a few days ago, by the way, in China. Another 1,500 lost their lives. Think of the Haiti earthquake on the 12th of January this year. We are told that that earthquake affected 3 million people. It is reckoned that 230,000 died. 300,000 people were injured and 1 million were left homeless. We can't take that in. Those statistics are staggering. But the point is this. They didn't know they were going to die. The Chile earthquake on the 27th of February killed 500 people. It lasted for just 90 seconds. And out into eternity those 500 people went. They didn't know they were going to die. By the way, tonight earthquakes are on the increase. There have been 6 major earthquakes this year already. There have been thousands of earthquakes this year. Just most of them are not large enough to be registered or to make the news, but earthquakes are on the increase. In war and conflict situations, most do not know that they're going to die. Soldiers, of course, are aware of the dangers. Their eyes are open to many realities. But the fact of the matter is, in the majority of cases, they feel it's going to be somebody else. It's not how most people feel, even when faced with danger. It's always going to be somebody else. And they don't think they're going to die. The great champion of Gath, Goliath, he stood that day in the battlefield. He did not think he was going to die. Certainly when the young lad, this young boy, that's all he was, came out to face him. He laughed into scorn, but that day Goliath went into eternity. And we can think of the Ulster Troubles, and we can think of the situation right up to date in Iraq and Afghanistan, and how many soldiers there, they didn't think they were going to die, but they did. What about the sudden heart attack or stroke? Read about men in Scripture who died suddenly. They just dropped down to death with a stroke. The rich farmer, for example, that we've read about tonight. God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He must have been taken away suddenly with a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. We think of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They dropped dead. We think of Herod who dropped dead. Later on in the book of Acts we read about that. And how many people we know personally who have been cut off from this scene of time suddenly by a stroke or by a heart attack, out into the eternity of God. They did not know that they were going to die. And what about unexpected accidents? The Tower of Siloam fell and killed 18 people. We read about that in the New Testament history. And car accidents. I feel tonight for the Marshall family. They happen to be staying up in the Ballymoney area this weekend. They just want to get away from everything because, you see, 1 year ago exactly tonight, their young son Joel was killed in a car accident going home from Randallstown. Randallstown meeting is tonight. And young Joel's life was lost. How tragic it was for one so young. And he didn't know, as many others who travel our roads do not know, that they're going to die. And that poses a problem. It poses a problem for those who are not ready. Maybe it's you in this meeting. You're not saved. And you don't know when you're going to die. And if it happened today, if it happened tomorrow, you're not prepared. What a problem that is. Because it would mean death and hell forevermore. The third little thing that I want to say tonight is this. Sometimes a person has knowledge that they're going to die. Like sick people. Hezekiah was sick. It was a sickness that was on to death. The prophet Isaiah was sent to him to tell the king, you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah therefore knew that time was short. And how often have the doctors come to individuals and they've said to them, you're going to die. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but in the very near future, you're going to die. And those sick people that are so critical, they know the time is short and the death is very near. Also in times of war, when young men knew that they were going to go to their death. We've spoken about war already tonight. And many of the soldiers, of course, don't think they're going to die. But wars are not the same the way that they used to be. And if you fought a war 100 years ago, there was a more likelihood that you were going to die. Think of the Battle of the Somme that was fought in 1916. Over 1 million soldiers were killed. 420,000 British soldiers, 200,000 French, 600,000 German. Do you know that 60,000 soldiers were killed on the first day off the battle. You see, wars were different then. And those men knew that they were entering into extremely dangerous situations from which they would not return. And so they had an inclination that death was near. What about a premonition? The Apostle Paul knew that he was going to die. He said to the Ephesians, as he thought about the suffering and the imprisonment that awaited him, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He said to them, "Ye shall see my face no more." And when the end drew near, he wrote to Timothy, as we've said, "The time of my departure is at hand." And sometimes God impresses upon the heart and the mind of his people that death is indeed very near. And so, my friend, sometimes a person has knowledge. But I have one final thought. And it's really the burden of this message. It's really the question that I'm asking you tonight. Would it make a difference? If you knew that you were going to die, would it make a difference? Christian in this meeting, let me speak to God's people. Would it make a difference in your life? Suppose, like Hezekiah, you had it on good authority that you were going to die. What effect would it have? What difference would it make? They're speaking to you, child of God, in this meeting. Would you pray more? Would you read your Bible more? Would you witness more? Would you be more holy, more thoughtful, more caring, more forgiving, more zealous in the work of God? Would you have any regrets? Would there be things that you need to put right? Things that you've neglected. Maybe neglected in your family. Or neglected in the work of God. James says, ask the question, is any among you afflicted? And in light of that question, he says, let him pray. Because hardship brings us to God. Brings us to our Bibles. Brings us to our knees. And there's nothing that will humble you more than to think seriously about the fact of death. And I think it is true. If we knew we were going to die, there would be differences in our lives. We would spend more time with the Lord. We would be more often in prayer. The trouble with many of God's professing people is the only time you see them at a prayer meeting is when trouble comes, and other times they're never there. But I tell you, when trouble comes, and especially this kind of trouble, that very soon you're going to die, it makes a difference. It's maybe the very thing that wakens a Christian up. How would you face approaching death if you knew that you were going to die? Well, you know, I think of the king here, King Hezekiah. I think it's either one of two things. You'll either have the concern that he had, be really troubled and anxious and afraid to die. As you read 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2, when he was told he was going to die, it says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember, now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. This man was troubled. This man was concerned. Probably because there were things he had to attend to. He was commanded to set his house in order. So on one side, as a Christian facing death, you might have this concern in your heart. Or, on the other hand, you might have the contentment of Paul. I think this is the way, by the way, for a Christian to die. When you come to the end of life's journey, that all you have to do is die. You have nothing to do but die. You have nothing to attend to. You think of this wonderful testimony that he has at the conclusion of life in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he says, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He looks back and he says, "I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." And then looks forward and he says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And Paul was a contented man in the face of death. Looking back, he thanked God for the life that he had lived unto the glory of Christ. Looking forward, he thanked God for all that was laid up for him in eternity. And so as a Christian facing death, there'll either be the concern that will fill and flood your heart, or there'll be this contentment and this peace. I know which one I'd rather have. Nothing more to do than just die. That's the way I want to go to glory. What about the unsaved that are here tonight? If you were told that you were going to die, would it make a difference? If you were going to die today, let me in conclusion take you to a scene at Calvary. The two themes on either side of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 23. If you knew you were going to die, your reaction would be one of two things, and we see it here at the cross. Never forget there were two dying themes. There's the dying thief that we all refer to, and we think of the decision of this dying thief. He knew that he was going to die, and in the light of death, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he had that assurance that very day that when he died, he'd be with the Lord. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so in the light of death, this dying thief made a decision for Christ. Called upon the Lord, came to trust him. But not only do we have the decision of one, we have the derision of the other to his dying breath. Because Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 says that one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And you can read the corresponding passage in Matthew chapter 27 to see a little bit more detail given there from verse 38 to 44. He died hardened. He died as he lived. And so in the face of death, knowing that you're going to die, you might be like the man that we call the dying thief who repented and sought the Lord and was saved. But you might be like the other man, the other dying thief. And to your dying breath, you might curse Christ and have no concern about eternity. If you knew that you were going to die, would it make a difference? I trust that it would make a difference. Whether you're a Christian or not, the fact of the matter is, you don't know that you're not going to die tonight. You don't know that. Death could be around the next corner for any person sitting in this meeting. And experience has shown that to be so over and over and over again. And so how ought I to be living? You ought to be living as if this is your last day. You ought to be living as if there's no tomorrow for you. That this is your last day that you're living on earth. And if you're a Christian, live it for the glory of God. Live it the way that it ought to be lived. Make sure that you have right relationships with other people. In the home, out of the home. Make sure you're walking a life that's right and holy before Almighty God. Live in the light of eternity with eternity's values in view. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to be prompted tonight to get right with God and to decide for Christ and come to know him, because we're just here for a little time. Just a little time. And then we're away. And what then? Oh, my friend, if you knew you were going to die, would it make a difference? Well, even if you don't know, it ought to make a difference tonight. Because death is hidden from view from every one of us. I trust that you'll make the right decisions in your life that need to be made. If you're a Christian, set your house in order. If you're not a Christian, make sure that you're saved and found in Christ. Don't leave this meeting without the Lord.